I'm Taylor Clark here, and we're getting ready to start Bureaucracy Now. But before we do that, I just want to take a moment to thank all the folks who stood in for me for the last 2 months over the summer. We heard from Phil Andrus and Tim Quackenbush, Jim Burke, Missy Nielsen, Chris Bricker, and thank you all. But particularly thank you, John, for continuing on here, soldiering on without me.
And I was tough. It was tough, Taylor. I'm glad you're back. And talk about adorable. It's good to have you in the chair again.
Thank you. I feel sort of adorable. And I was out. I was gone for 2 months, and came back for two good reasons. One is I had a massage scheduled. But I also brought my boat down to join the hordes in front of Port Townsend for the Wooden Boat Festival. And you know, it's hard to get anchored out there. But it's really the way to see Port Townsend is see it from the water. And it just looks different when you're sitting out in front of the place. And so we have a guest today, right, John?
Yeah, we do. And as we try to be all about star alignment, both with our guests and just the timing of it all, it's really good timing because you were on the water, you participated in the festival. I've started this little Leadership for a Change, kind of tongue-in-cheek mini-series about taking our community leaders and just getting some, you know, sage advice and principles and, you know, pragmatic approaches to leadership in a community. And we have Barb Traylor here, who just finished up a miraculous re-entry into Wooden Boat Fest in person. I'm honored. And Barb, welcome into the conversation.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and I wanted to have some facts at my fingertips here. I think these probably came from you originally. The Wooden Boat Festival had 9,000 attendees.
We had over.
Over 9,000. 225 boats in the festival, not to mention the hordes in front of the festival, including Loon, my boat, and over 60 vendors. So, wow, well done. And I saw you down there at the point, and your hair was on fire.
Yeah.
And I also want to thank you. KPTZ was down there on Saturday hosting a broadcast right out on the point next to the beer garden. Perfect place for the radio station. And thank you. That was fun.
Yeah. I do want to point out, you know, that it was well over 10,000. That's just the tickets sold. You know, there's another couple thousand people that are involved. So we estimated it at about almost 5,000 to 9,000 people per day.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
It's a big festival. I wore my Boot Dusseldorf T-shirt today, which is the largest boat show in Europe, and I suspect it's a similar size. But yeah,
that one's a lot bigger.
Is
yeah.
it? Okay, it didn't seem bigger.
By North American standards, though, we take the cake, don't we, Barb?
Yeah. For wooden boats, strictly wooden boats, we do. And really, in the world, strictly wooden boats, we think we're the second largest. We haven't found any evidence to the contrary. There's a lot of big maritime festivals in Europe, a lot of great ones that have several thousand boats in them that take over whole cities. But those are multi, they're wood, metal, they're all yeah. kinds of maritime boats.
I was just, I mean, look, like I keep saying like, hey, this is new for me. It was new for me. And I knew not only was Thursday a signal of what was to come over the weekend, because like, oh, we're just getting going on Thursday. And I was astonished by the energy, the kindness, the smiles, and the number of people. But even amongst all of that, somehow I managed to see you and you came over calm as a cucumber, eating something to just say hello in the midst of this Herculean lift that you and the team had done. I was just like, really? Like that was yeah. serious.
Thursday's a great day. And it was way more crowded this year. I'm not sure we're going to be able to let that, like it actually isn't great to have that much public there when we've got people moving boats in and boats out and all of that. So we're going to have to think about that.
That's the day before it starts, which is always correct. Sort of the secret yeah. local, you know, if you're a local, you know.
Yeah. And what we try to do is that's our big move-in day. So there's a lot of moving pieces that day and it's extremely high energy. Like boats are moving in, boats on land are moving in, the vendors are moving in and everybody's pretty excited. And then we close the roads down at 4 mm-hmm. or 5. So it's busy, right? It's pr- it's pretty crazy, and we need to get all the cars off the road, and so having a lot of traffic there, having a lot of walking traffic was added to all that energy. It really did. It was good. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
So I want to say, like, I only see little segments of this, both as a participant, you know, a bystander, you know, a proud dad of a daughter who happened to be on one of the schooners that did well amongst no wind. But also, you know, the city angle on this is, you know, I try not to miss an opportunity to shout out the police team, the public works team, streets team that actually play a role in making sure things go smoothly. But as, you know, taking the Boat Fest as like an example of like what success looks like, I wanted to kind of pivot into, you know, leadership and kind of, you know, how you work through all these moving parts, you know, keeping to a vision and cutting through challenge after challenge. Because I bet we don't get to see all the pieces of the sausage that's being perfectly crafted into Port Townsend's finest. So maybe a few words about, you know, what you bring to the table to make sure everything actually comes out the other end.
Well, I think I bring to the table a willingness to let it be evolve into what it's going to be to some degree. You know, like at any event, you can plan till the cows come home, and then things are going to get a life of their own. And really, that's always been kind of the beauty and magic of Wooden Boat Festival, is some of the coolest things come out of the woodwork, so maybe not in a timely fashion, but being able to be adaptable and is probably one of my best skill sets, and say, sure, be able to say yes. And, you know, incorporate things that are really cool and that might bring some magic to the day. And also I going back to what you were saying about the city, I mean, we had, this year we had probably 80% of the people that were involved in the festival, interior and exteriorly, were new, had and maybe never seen festival. And so it was really a challenge in a way that people didn't know what to expect. And so their anxiety was very high, but also the training expectations was high, but it came off beautifully. Everybody came into it with that, I think they kind of mirror your energy that you're bringing to the table. And when you can bring in kind of steady, like, it's going to be okay. It sounds chaotic, but, you know, if we're grounded and aren't losing, you know, losing it, I think people respond to that. And so we met that with all the way. We had all new police basically this year, new fire people, new city or inspectors. You know, it was from the top to the volunteers. We had lots of.
I was just about to ask. I mentioned the people who attended, but you have quite a large stable of volunteers for this festival. How many volunteers did you have?
We do. Roughly. I think this year was in the 450 range.
Wow.
We've had up to 700 people volunteer at a festival. I think 2019 was just tipping into 700.
And how many, what percentage roughly were new this year?
A lot. I would say at least 50%.
Yeah. No, I saw some great volunteers. I saw, you know, I know there's a volunteer position for emptying the garbage cans important.
I think that's one of the things that people don't realize, the complexity of festival is, you know, our parking and traffic teams have 8 people on all day, every day. Mm-hmm. So we run 4-hour shifts. And so that's, you know, we're pulling in volunteer managers to manage those people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Same with garbage. We have like 8 people on per shift,
right?
8 people managing the docks per every 4 hours. So it's a lot of moving people and a lot of management. It's big teams.
Do you have a breakdown of the volunteers, local versus remote? I mean, because there, as I from the last time I volunteered, which has been a few years, because we haven't had this for a few years, they were mostly local people, but I'm thinking maybe not entirely. Do you know?
I don't have that. I'm not the volunteer coordinator, so I don't have the statistics, but I would say they're still by and large local.
Yeah.
We have so many new people in town this year. We do a newcomers gathering. The development team does a newcomers welcoming dinner, and there was over 125 people there this year. So that's 125 people that have bought houses this year came to that welcome event.
Wow.
At a festival. Yeah. And so, And at our volunteer orientations, we had at least 50 to 100 people every one that was brand new.
I just actually had a email come in, which reminds me that, you know, this is a community participation. So I'm watching the DJ at kptz.org. But I heard from Jim Burke, who's our news coordinator, and he said that he talked to Angela, the volunteer coordinator, and there were 530 volunteers.
Oh, 530. So that's,
yeah. He also corrects me and says it's paranoid android. It was I didn't have my glasses on.
I love just a shout out to Jim because he helped kind of carry the weight while you were gone, Taylor.
Oh, yes, he did.
And I feel like in the theme of the volunteer element here, not only is that like a big theme of how Port Townsend just keeps running,
right,
including the city as an organization, but, you know, Missy played a role and everybody can. We talked a bit about volunteerism. So comes full circle here on bureaucracy now.
Well, and everybody can is about, that's about volunteerism. And that's, yeah. And I think that's one of the things that makes Port Townsend so interesting is how people jump in and do get involved. And, you know, we're just coming into the PTFF this weekend, and that's primarily run by volunteers. So there'll be lots of people out there. I'm helping out with the car parade.
That's awesome.
So it's, yeah. So I would, and I'm excited, Barb, for you to say that you had people who were new to Port Townsend. Cause you know, this is a sort of an ongoing theme with me is, you know, people who show up and it's like, okay, you want to, you know, you like Port Townsend, you got to participate. And that's what makes it great. And so to hear that, you know, new community members are joining in and getting their feet wet on, you know, and, you know, not all the volunteering is sexy. You know, I've taken tickets and I have hauled garbage. I've stood at the top of the dock and said, you know, hey, put your life jacket on and stuff like that. So, you know, yeah, they got to do those things in order to get the festival to run. And it takes a village.
Yeah, so, it definitely does. You know, one thing that I just love is we've had several people come in to sign up to volunteer the day they moved to town.
Wow.
And that just warms my heart. It's so great. I mean, of course, we make a big deal and take their picture and everything, but that has happened several times. And it's really, really something when they're like, yeah, we've heard this is how to meet friends and how to, you
it
know,
is.
Meet community.
Yeah.
And it is. And we had like 450 people at our volunteer dinner, thank you dinner, mm-hmm. at the end of the festival, which was probably twice as much as we've had in the past. Now, we've had more volunteers possibly, but that many people stayed for the dinner, which was really quite something for community engagement.
I wanted to mention to listeners once again that the, you know, if you're new to town or if you haven't had a chance to look at Port Townsend from the water, Maritime Center has a tour boat, right? They're shut down for the winter. Darn, because that's a good way to do it. All right, they're going to have to catch the ferry and stand on the deck and watch it as it goes by. But it really is. It's just wonderful to see the lights and to hear the different sounds coming from different venues around town with different things going on. It's just a good way to feel part of a maritime community is really a good thing.
Absolutely.
I love the dual track here of, you know, kind of the message it sends to newcomers to town, like you encapsulated pretty, really well, Taylor, you know, and really the practice, Barb, that you and the festival and Wood in the Northwest Maritime Center embody. I mean, it's almost like, I mean, I feel almost struggling to connect directly to the leadership, topic that I want to pick out of the air. But I mean, to me, it's a form of helping everybody get kind of unified into one direction. And it's like a visible embodiment of that when you see something so complex coming together. And there's kind of at least two ways to see that. I mean, there's the welcome to town. You just got here. We're setting the norms for how to engage in community here. And, you know, I also saw staff. I mean, you have a new staff and a new team, you know, and I'm not making any age judgments here on anybody on the call, but, you know, there's a lot of expertise here to share with new staff as well as, you know, volunteers. So I'd love, Barb, to hear your perspectives on how you kind of embrace the next generation of leaders, you embrace the next generation of Port Townsend residents and kind of build in what's important around, you know, what this community really means.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that's a great, big topic. One of the things that I think makes our project so successful, and this year was a little bit different because we didn't build our team. Like we build our leadership team, which is partially staff and partially volunteers. And it's up to about 70 people that are part of this leadership team. And we get together. One of my leadership things that I believe in is make it fun. And so we meet all summer in my backyard and have barbecues. And of course, there might be beer and wine and club soda.
PTFF, you know, does the same thing.
Yeah, you know, we're building community. And so getting together for a social time, we get together every 3 weeks and get people inundated into the culture of what we expect, right? And that just by doing, just by how we treat each other, just by kindness, just by, you know, taking the time to hear and see people. I think that's really one of the big reasons we get people come back year after year is they feel like they belong there. And people want belonging.
Yeah.
They want to feel seen. They want to, and especially I moved here 40 years ago or 38 years ago. Most of our families aren't here. And so we're all people living here. And so creating new family and creating new connections is really important for the community as well as for the individuals. And so I think at a very rudimentary level, we start by doing that and working towards something that the whole community enjoys. That's, you know, like being part of something bigger than yourself, of course, is huge. And something that so many people come and enjoy. And we don't have people drop out of our volunteer force. I mean, they might age out. We had people, this was the first year that some of our volunteers that had been there over 20 years, the pandemic kind of aged that they didn't make it through the pandemic. They moved south. We had quite a few, but I think that says a lot about how it fills their cup and how it fills their needs in a society, in a community, and makes them feel part of the community. It's fantastic. And a lot of our volunteers are the exact same ones that turn around and do it for film festival.
Right.
Oh, I love it. I mean, if I could take that like minute of brilliance and like roll that tape for everybody coming into town to sort of say, yeah, you can belong. There are opportunities to feel part of a community, to make a difference, to be part of something larger than yourself. I mean, that's just such gold. And I know you're a co-host here, Taylor, but to me, that is kind of the KPTZ community as well, because that station don't run on just paid staff alone.
No, and we have very few. I think we have like three maybe paid staff. It's not a lot. And it says right at the top of our webpage, you know, about creating. Now I can't remember what it says. it talks about creating community. Oh, I can't remember. It's right next to the blue donate now button. What can I say? But it is about creating community. I want to, for anybody just joining us, we're most of the way through the show. But you, if you're just joining us, you are listening to Bureaucracy Now with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. I'm his co-host Taylor Clark, and today we are talking to Barb Traylor, who is the director of the Wooden Boat Festival, festival and events director for the Northwest Maritime Center. Did I get that right?
Yeah,
it's a complex title.
Well, we've said it multiple ways, so I'm not sure what my current card says.
How's it changed? Like this. Sorry, Taylor, grab the horn here. But it's Radio Connects Us All, by the way. And it does.
Thank
here
you.
We are.
There, thank you. Radio Connects Us All.
But you know, Barb, this isn't your first rodeo here. You know, how have things changed since the origin, or at least your beginning of the journey?
Oh my gosh, when we first started, so that was my 10th festival or 10th year, I think. So, but a couple of those were virtual. It was quite different. It's grown exponentially in very interesting ways. Like we've really upped the volunteer force. We've really upped how complex festival is. And, but even the staff, I think when I was hired, there was 11 full-time staff, and I think we're at 40 or something now. I don't even know. I can't keep up. So it's really changed, and we are very busy. So for a lot of those new staff that came this year, like Wooden Boat Festival, a lot of them hadn't seen it. Maybe 50% or more of our staff had never even been to festival. And so it was really fun to be like, get ready, because, you know, like that, it is definitely the most complex thing we do. Biggest by in size, I guess, but After coming off races to Alaska, you know, like we just, the grass isn't, no grass growing.
No grass grows under your feet. No, there's always something new coming.
Salt water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What comes up next? Do you meet afterwards? You said you had a thank you dinner and is this where you just, everybody takes a deep breath and says, okay, until next year?
Because you have
to start pretty early to plan this, right?
I usually have a few things since I've been here a while and have established some relationships. I have quite a few things in the hopper for every year. You know, I have things I'm thinking about for 2024. And pre-pandemic, I had my headliners booked out for 3-4 years, you know, like major themes and things like that. The pandemic really ruined all that. And we haven't really recovered from that, largely because we were going to have the Draken, that big famous Viking ship, was on schedule to be here. And the Hokulea was going to be here. And so we were building themes around some, you know, big other entities participating. And when those broke down, but at any rate, it never really stops. And we have a couple programs that we do throughout the winter, and we go into budget season, not having done festival for a few years. It'll be really interesting to see how prices have changed, you know, how that all lands. So we'll go into that next, budgeting and planning for next year. Yeah.
Boats. Do we get some boats? I know, you know, show up every year. Joshua, for example, is a big favorite of mine. And some boats, you know, boats I know, but I've never seen them at the festival before. Blue Peter leapt to mind. That was a notable thing. What's sort of the ratio, or, you know, returning boats versus new boats?
You know, I would say we have about 50% returning boats. And we try to get, we try to keep it new and fresh, mm-hmm. but it's a dance between, people love the boats and the relationships they've made. You know, there's a relationship between people that come to see the Joshua every year.
Every year.
So we used to have an agreement with some boats to come, you know, like come every 4 years or come every other year. And we do have some of those relationships with people to keep it a little bit fresh. But we try to keep it at about 50% new.
Yeah.
But often you have to seize the moment, right? Boats are movable targets, and we don't always have control over that. In fact, we rarely have a lot of control. That's one of the beautiful things about festival, is that some of the most beautiful boats just call us out of the blue and say, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
I can solicit, like in the winter, I do spend a lot of time soliciting headliner speakers or interesting speakers or boats. And I do spend a fair amount of time, that I do that for fun, right? I do that at night when you're maybe watching the news or whatever. And that often doesn't result in much. Sometimes it does. Often the gems just find us because of the notability. You know, we've been around 45 years. And so mostly the gems just say, hey, we've been dying to come. We're coming this year. So that's fun.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, I want to just quickly ask John if we haven't really covered too in depth your leadership topic, other than to say it that this is all about, you know, joining in.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, is that, you know, luckily they're not, you know, duplicative conversations, and I think I just feel, especially after experiencing Woodboat myself for the first real time, having the flavor of what leadership looks like on the ground, and Barb's leadership over many years in the community, it's a different way to answer that question of what do you need. And what sticks with me are some of your comments about community belonging and what that means for all of us, actually, mm-hmm. no matter what station we are, not radio station, but, you know, where we are in the community. So that's just a fantastic contribution to the conversation. Very much appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So as we close out the show here, on my boat, which is, as you probably know, is called Loon, you know, we have a way on Loon of spending the summer. And one of the things that we added this year was sea shanties. And so So there were mostly because my crew for the first few weeks were actually had just come off of Adventurous, where they do a lot of sea shanties. And so that was sort of the soundtrack of the summer, was sea shanties. And one that particularly, you can see where I'm going here, John.
Oh, yeah.
One,
I can't wait.
One that particularly stuck in my mind was a song which I'm going to play here for you in a minute. After perhaps I sing the first stanza.
Yes.
But it turns out it isn't a sea shanty. It's by a North Vancouver band called Spirit of the West, and it is called The Crawl. And it is about a pub crawl. And it starts out, "Well, we're good old boys. We come from the North Shore. Drinkers and carousers, the like you've never seen. And tonight, by God, we'll drink till there is no more. From the Troller to the Raven and all points in between." The Troller is a pub in Horseshoe Bay, thank you, and the Raven is in Deep Cove, and so that's my contribution to our wooden boat thing. Are you ready for this?
Love it.
So I'm going to say, John, Barb, thank you very much for joining us, and John, I'll see you next week on Brew Now.